Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
No excuses. None. Zero. The genocidal intent of the Israeli state in Gaza cannot be ignored anymore. Cannot be denied. And it must not be denied. It should already have been obvious, what with the detonation of the equivalent of several nuclear bombs in an area the size of East London in the space of just a few months, leaving most civilian infrastructure damaged, severely so, or destroyed, as can be seen from satellite imagery of Khan Yunis, the second largest city in Gaza. It should have been obvious from what one UN official has called the biggest rate of killing since the Rwandan genocide 30 years ago, with one detailed academic study suggesting that with an assault on Rafah, over 5% of Gaza's population is likely to have been killed by August. That is around 1 in 19 killed in the first 10 months of this horror beginning. It should have been obvious from the repeated genocidal statements by Israeli ministers, officials, army officers and soldiers on the ground, often posted for comic amusement on TikTok. And now there is the question of Israel imposing starvation on Gaza. Don't listen to me on that. Instead, listen to Josep Borrell, the European Union's foreign policy chief.
Gaza, we are no longer on the brink of famine. We are in a state of famine. It's not a flood. It's not a earthquake. It's entirely man-made. By whom? That's there to say it. By whom? I'm coming from Washington, and I dare to say, well, yes, Israel is provoking famine. Oh, how do you say that? What evidence do you have? Come on, what evidence do I have? Hundreds of trucks are waiting to enter. And it's absolutely imperative to make crossing points work effectively and open additional crossing point. And it's just a matter of political will.
Well, that's clear-cut. He said Israel is provoking famine. He says the famine is entirely man-made. He says that starvation is being used as a weapon of war, that by definition means genocidal intent. If you're accusing a state of deliberately imposing a famine on a civilian population, that is, of course, self-evident genocidal intent. Where's the argument? Now, before you start waving the EU flag in jubilation, if the EU thinks a state is deliberately starving a population, why the hell aren't they imposing sanctions on them? Talk is cheap. Israel knows it can ignore such statements, and it does all the time. It's action that counts. Now, bear in mind that Gaza has suffered the fastest decline in a population's nutritional status ever recorded. Now, Oxfam has just released a report explaining how Israel is blocking humanitarian aid and operations, contradicting the lies spread by the Israeli state. Let's hear Noor Shahraz explain how Israel is doing just that.
The report also says, and you were making this point, Israel has made the humanitarian response impossible. Can you explain that for our viewers?
The Oxfam is looking into 7 constraints to humanitarian access that Israel has deliberately put in place to ensure that humanitarian operations are blocked. So basically, this starts before getting into Gaza, where there's a siege that does not allow us as humanitarian organizations to get aid into Gaza. The aid that we have, or the trucks that have been crossing into Gaza, are not all the aid that is available and queuing up at the borders away from 2.3 million Palestinians who are desperate. Those trucks that are queuing are either going through an inspection protocol that is unjustifiably long and inefficient that Israel has put in place. Our aid items are being rejected, and we do not understand or receive justification of why our aid items are being rejected. And this could be anything from water testing kits to sanitation material that is considered life-saving given the situation in Gaza today. Even if our aid items are allowed into Gaza, and this is only a trickle of the aid, We receive basically rejections through humanitarian convoys that would be able to get to the north, but even in the south, not all humanitarian convoys are being allowed to finish or are being facilitated in order to get to the people who are in need of this assistance.
Okay.
And if the humanitarian convoys are allowed, they are targeted. And if they're not targeted, then the people who are running to receive the aid are targeted themselves. So this is how Israel is creating a perfect storm to ensure that our humanitarian operations are completely blocked.
Now, they're responding to the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification Hunger Report, which states that famine is imminent in northern Gaza. And if Israel continues its military onslaught and continues to restrict humanitarian access, then that leaves the whole of Gaza at risk of famine. Now, don't forget that under international law, Israel, as the occupying power, is legally obliged to ensure access, sufficient access to food to the civilian population. Now, as the IBC report there, this new report shows that the catastrophic levels of hunger and starvation in Gaza are the highest ever recorded on the IPC scale, both in terms of the number of people and percentage of the population. Never before have we seen such rapid deterioration into widespread starvation. They add, northern Gaza is days away from famine and the rest of Gaza faces a similar fate. Children are already dying of malnutrition and starvation under the gaze of the international community. Since December, the number of people who have plunged into catastrophic levels of hunger has nearly doubled. Now, bear in mind, their analysis was done between the 26th of February and the 1st of March. Well, that period ended 17 days ago, as I record this, so we're likely looking at a significant underestimate. Things have clearly deteriorated since. Now, this report makes for horrifying reason. Reading. It says that this is the highest share of people, as I say, facing high levels of acute food insecurity or IPC initiative has ever classified for ever any given area or country. So what that means is there are 677,000 Palestinians in Gaza in phase five, that's people in catastrophe, another 876,000 people classed as being an emergency, that's phase four, 578,000 people in crisis, phase three, 96,000 in stress, phase two, zero people with food security, phase one. What is now projected is between around now and mid-July is over 1.1 million people in phase five, catastrophe. 854,000 in phase four, in emergency. 265,000 in phase three, crisis. Zero people in either phase two or one.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
That is an astonishing collapse into humanitarian catastrophe. Now, I did not ever think that I would be favourably quoting David Miliband. He's now the president of the International Rescue Committee, but he's the arch-Blairite by history, former Labour Foreign Secretary and leadership candidate. And I certainly didn't think I'd be quoting him on foreign policy issues. But he's rightly said about these airdrops of food, air deliveries of aid to Gaza are unsafe, highly expensive, ineffective and dehumanising. Authorities can and must do more to create safe and effective land routes for distribution of aid. That's a very good point. Those airdrops have already killed people they've landed on. They also encourage, for example, the risk of drowning because of desperately starving kids trying to swim to get them when they land in the sea. They only offer a pinprick in terms of what aid is actually needed. The US made a big song and dance about an airdrop, which represented enough food for a single meal for one day for 1.72% of the population. They're ineffective because, by definition, they can't be targeted on the basis of need. They're self-evidently dehumanising, expecting Palestinians to run like animals for food. He adds, there's no good reason why aid cannot reach Gaza by land today. The Israeli authorities have the ability to create conditions for safe and effective distribution of aid, but they are not doing so. Once again, it needs repeating over and over again. This is deliberate starvation. Israel is repeatedly lying to the world. It's allowing sufficient aid in. But in practice, what they're doing is just sticking to what they promised from the start. After all, Yoav Gallant, the defence minister, just after the 7th of October, said there would be a total siege on everything, literally everything, all the essentials of life on the grounds Gaza's population were human animals. Now, the lies of Israel are here taken apart by Sari Bash from Human Rights Watch.
Let's begin with the reports that a famine is imminent. Just give us your take on the situation in the ground and quite how desperate it is in terms of that very basic human need of food and water.
Well, the famine-like conditions are man-made. From the very beginning, the Israeli military stopped the delivery of food, fuel, electricity, and other life-saving goods, and later allowed only a trickle of aid in through the land crossings, very little of it reaching the north. The Israeli military has delayed or denied humanitarian missions to the north, actually bombed trucks bringing in aid, and killed a record number, well over 100 UN aid workers for UNRWA.
Well, the Israeli military, of course, says that it has provided corridors for aid to reach where it's needed.
More than half of the requests for missions to the north from the south to bring the aid in have been delayed or denied, and the Israeli military has refused to allow the aid in through plentiful truck routes that would allow it to go directly to the north. When you bring it in from the south, it is very difficult to bring it all the way to the north because we have waited until people are desperate. Hungry people are looting the trucks because there's not enough. There is a choice. The Israeli military can open up adequate land routes, fulfill its obligation to secure those convoys and protect people so that they can actually have enough to eat. This doesn't have to be this way.
Now, Israel's smear campaign against UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, and the main humanitarian agency in Gaza, were never backed up with evidence, but they led several Western donor states to cut funding, with the likes of the EU and Canada reinstating that funding, but only after the damage had been done. Financially strangling the main humanitarian agency in Gaza during a humanitarian catastrophe is genocidal in itself. Yet today, Philip Lazzarini, Commissioner General of UNRWA, was today denied access to Gaza by Israel. He says, "My visit today was supposed to coordinate and improve the humanitarian response. This man-made starvation under our watch is a stain on our collective humanity. Too much time is wasted. All land crossings must open now. Famine can be averted with political will." Of course, that political will is not there because Israel is deliberately starving Gaza. Now, the International Court of Justice, of course, issued provisional orders. One of them was to order Israel to ensure access to humanitarian aid to ensure that genocide is prevented. It's not only failed to comply, it's done the exact opposite. Now, today we've seen Israel's impunity on full, unashamed display. They've killed the commander of Gaza's civilian police force in a new raid on Al-Shifa Hospital, which is already being repeatedly attacked. This is a new attack. This is itself linked to the question of famine, because the Biden administration themselves has asked Israel to stop targeting members of the police force because they escort aid trucks in Gaza. Without them, given the desperation of a starving population, you won't be able to get aid trucks safely in. We've seen what happens when the IDF supposedly fill that vacuum. They've ended up massacring desperately hungry, starving Palestinians. Now, Israel has virtually destroyed Gaza's medical system, another key plank of its genocidal onslaught. If you destroy a healthcare system in the midst of this mass murderous onslaught, in which simultaneously the essentials of life are denied, how on earth can you not see the genocidal implications? Now, as I say, they've already attacked the already largely non-functioning Al-Shifa Hospital, which was Gaza's main hospital, alleging the presence of Hamas militants. And the claims they made about that in the first place, about it being, I mean, they originally claimed it was the main headquarters of Hamas, which fell apart completely. A detailed investigation by the Washington Post revealed the claims made by Israel were a nonsense. They arrested the entire Al Jazeera crew in the hospital and destroyed their broadcasting vehicles. Now, it's been reported that includes beating up the Al Jazeera reporter Ismail Al-Ghul before his arrest. Clearly, what they're trying to do is stop the outside world knowing about the war crimes, the atrocities being committed in Gaza. Bear in mind, Israel has overseen the worst killing of journalists in any conflict in recorded history. Where is the outrage from my colleagues? Where's their outrage? Where's their fury? Sickening. They've also demanded 30,000 civilians Israel living nearby must evacuate to the south. As the Guardian newspaper notes, there's very limited transport available in Gaza, and many residents of Gaza City, particularly children and elderly people, are weak after months without adequate food. It was not immediately clear how they would be able to comply with the Israeli instructions. A crime so vast, it's often difficult to absorb all the different components of that crime, isn't it? So again, let me leave you with these haunting words. of Aaron Bushnell, the 25-year-old former US soldier who died after setting himself on fire outside the Israeli embassy in Washington in protest at the mass slaughter of Gaza. He said, "Many of us like to ask ourselves, what would I do if I was alive during slavery or the Jim Crow South or apartheid? What would I do if my country was committing genocide? The answer is, you're doing it right now." Please like and subscribe. Do share this video. Listen to us on the podcast, and you can keep the show on the road, as ever, on patreon.com/ojoseph4. I'll speak to you soon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.